looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That's out toward right center field. Going back on it is Zimmer. At the wall. Gone! Big fly, Ohtani-san!
Shohei Ohtani, his first major league home run. And the Angels add on. It's now 5-2.
That is awesome.
Yeah, they want a curtain call. And here he comes. And there it is.
Okay, so there you go. That's Shohei Ohtani hitting a home run for the Los Angeles Angels in his first home game as a member of the Angels earlier in the year. And we're going to start with him tonight, as well as the matchup between the Red Sox and the Los Angeles Angels out at, I don't even know what they call that place anymore, Anaheim Stadium. I think that's still what it's called. 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, is back at our studio in Brighton. We are broadcasting to you tonight from our Star Market Broadcast Studio here at the TD Garden. The Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks coming up in just a little bit. Game 2 of their Eastern Conference playoff series. We right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Pregame at, Jimmy, what time is pregame?
7:30?
7:30 pregame. So will Jones be on at 7 o'clock? Is that right?
Yes.
I believe so. Yeah.
Jones at 7 will take you into pregame, right into Game 2 of the Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you didn't watch Game 1, let me tell you, you missed a hell of a game. So you can listen to the local broadcast right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. But I want to get back to Ohtani. And let me just say up front that if you don't like it when the Red Sox are on the West Coast, because let's face it, we do have lives. Most of us have lives. Now, if you work a job like I do, you can get to work a little bit later in the day, and so you can stay up and watch the game. Murray is nodding here on my left, Jim Murray, because he knows that we can stay up, you can sleep until 10 o'clock. Of course, I have kids, Murray, you don't, but that's another. That's not your problem. So I have trouble staying up for the West Coast games.
Oh, I see. Even without kids, Maz, it's a struggle. It's difficult for people, but this one tonight, I'm sorry to maybe blow up your spot here a little bit. This, to me, is appointment viewing. It really is. You know, Ohtani I've only really seen clips of, but you already know he looks like the real deal. And you get David Price bumped, so he's starting tonight. So on paper, you got a great pitching matchup. And this is a real test for both of these teams because, especially if you're looking at the Angels, I didn't know the Rangers were as bad as they are. They've really only played one real team, much like the Red Sox have only played one real team since the start of the season. And they played the Indians, the Red Sox have played the Yankees, and the rest have been crap.
So you said it, Murray, that if you're ever going to stay up for a West Coast game, this is the one to stay up for. And I mean in the regular season. They play 162. There aren't many games you're going to stay up for when they're on the West Coast. But this one, this is one you're going to want to stay up for, at least the beginning of it. Shohei Ohtani against David Price. The Red Sox and the Angels are combined 26-5 to open the season. Both of the teams have been scoring runs. The Angels, I think, are a plus 48. In run differential, I'm trying to make the Jared Carabases of the world happy.
They've scored the most runs in baseball. It's 103.
Okay. And the Red Sox are plus 42 in run differential. They're second in the league. So in the early part of the season, these two have been the most dominating teams in the game. David Price coming off that game with New York and the numbness or loss of sensitivity in his hand that prevented him from coming out for the second inning will be back on the mound. He'll face the Angels. You could face a scenario tomorrow morning where the Red Sox have lost three games this year and David Price has started two of them. Okay, so Price has a lot at stake in this game. The Angels have a lot at stake, their first real opponent, as Murray said. The Red Sox have played the Yankees, but the rest of their schedule has been garbage. So they, too, are running into a team that is hot, and they're doing it on the road. I think there's a lot to prove there from the Red Sox. But make no mistake, the number one objective or the number one draw in this game for you should be the pitcher for the Angels, Shohei Ohtani. And let me just say also that the only downside with Ohtani here in the early going is that you don't really get to see him do both, I don't think, although there's a chance certainly he will hit on Thursday. I don't think there's any shot Ohtani plays in the game tomorrow. Okay, so I think you can erase that one. He's going to start tonight, and the only reason that is happening, and that is start as a pitcher, the only reason that is happening is because the Angels got rained out on Sunday against Kansas City. They were off yesterday, and so Ohtani's turn got pushed back a couple of days. He'll pitch against the Red Sox tonight. And with regard to the rainouts, we'll get to those later in the program, too. There have been a ton of them in Major League Baseball here in the early part of the year. Excuse me. In the early part of the year. And hopefully Ohtani will bat on Thursday. But there is a real, there is a real uniqueness to Ohtani here, and that's without overusing that word unique. This guy's different. He's different as a pitcher, first of all. And then he's obviously different because he is the first player in I don't know how many years of Major League Baseball to both pitch and hit for an American League team. Okay? So my question to you as a baseball fan is, are you interested in this guy? Are you as fascinated with Shohei Ohtani as I am? Because let me tell you, as a pitcher, this guy's elite. He throws 99 to 100 miles an hour with his fastball, and he's got a split-fingered pitch that is might be the best in the game already. Okay, if it's not the best, it's one of the handful of best. I think his breaking ball has been overrated here in the early going a little bit, at least the one that I've seen. Maybe I caught him on a bad day. But my question to you about Ohtani is, are you as captivated by this guy as I am? Because I think there's a real opportunity here for Major League Baseball to seize on Ohtani's uniqueness, his ability to pitch, his ability to hit, and really draw in a lot of fans and a lot of young fans because, again, what he does is new and it's different. So there you go. And on that, on top of that, we have David Price. We have the importance of the games and the series and the road trip with the Red Sox, all of that tonight on the program. A little bit later, we'll get to a column written by Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston, and also some comments that Anthony Rizzo made with regard to the scheduling problems that Major League Baseball is having here in the early part of the year. And I think Rizzo brings up a great idea and something that I firmly subscribe to. So 617-779-0985. We will kick it off tonight with Dave, who's on the Cape. Dave, go.
Hey, what's going on, Maggie? I want to get an Ohtani. I think it's intriguing. If you look at the stats, the last guy to really do something like this potentially was Babe Ruth his last few years with the Red Sox. I mean, he pitched and he was pretty good and he started hitting. But how many games do you think they're going to start him at DH? 85 to 90 potentially, or maybe more?
So, Dave, he already says he wants to play more, and he doesn't feel like he's getting enough at-bats, which tells me he wants to play 4 days a week.
Yeah.
He wants to pitch on Sunday, which is obviously a different demand. But I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, do you think they're underplaying or overplaying him at the moment?
I think they may be underplaying him if he's hitting the ball the way he is now. But I guess he needs a day off after he pitches. But if he's DH and that's all he's doing is hitting, I think he should be playing the guy. He's played half the games. They played 16 games. He's played 8. So
two of those are as a starting pitcher. So that means in the other 14, he's played 6 times. It feels to me like he wants to play 8 times, 9 times. And 9 might be unrealistic. But I'll tell you what I find to be interesting about Ohtani, Murray. First of all, maybe the only reason he's able to do this is that he had the leverage when he came over. Right, it's not your typical draft pick who a team takes into an organization and then says, we own your rights, you're going to do what we tell you to do. Ohtani got to decide. So he got to look at teams and say, no, I'm going to sign with whoever lets me do both. Okay, that's number one. And then secondly, the other thing I wonder with him is whether the bouncing back and forth actually will make it easier for him over the long term. So the baseball season's a long season. You're playing 162 games. Positional players start to hit the wall probably in June sometime where they say, here you go. You're now into the middle months, and it becomes a grind. But this guy's routine is constantly changing. I mean, on Friday and Saturday, he starts to get ready to pitch. So on Sunday, he pitches. On Monday, he recovers. He starts thinking about hitting, and maybe he's back in the lineup on Tuesday or Wednesday. So again, there's a constant change in his routine, and I'm wondering if that
keeps him fresh.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mentally, if not anything else, physically, maybe it's more of a demand, but then you can cut back the hitting days to 3 instead of 4 if that's the way you want to go. I'm wondering if there's a chance he'll be a better player as a position or as a hitter because he doesn't have to hit 7 days a week. Maybe he's less susceptible to slumps. Maybe he gives you the productivity that you'd get out of a guy who plays 6 days a week and he gives it to you in four because he can rest the other two and he doesn't have to to grind at the plate like a lot of guys would. Mike is in North Attleboro. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually still on the fence with Ohtani with all this. He didn't pitch a lot of innings in Japan. He's only 23 years old. And you got to look at the long future of the season, too. You know, you got to play till September, and they're in contention this year. So they might be playing in October. So, you know, it's only, you know, 2 weeks into the season, but I like to see more out of him. He looks impressive, don't get me wrong. But it's a long season.
Okay, so Mike, do you realize that at the moment they have him on a schedule where he was due to pitch only every Sunday?
Yeah, I know they're on the six-day rotation.
Okay, so my point is he's not going to get worn down like a typical pitcher, right? This is another thing, Murray. He's getting 6 days of rest. So he's not going to make 32, 33 starts. This guy's only going to start 26 games, something of the like, and then go into the playoffs. So 26 games adds up to what? 160 innings? Something, and that's if he's going six a game. If he goes seven a game, maybe it's a little bit more than that. It's 175, 180. But he's not going to pitch 220 innings. So again, I'm wondering if there's a chance by doing both, he's actually more effective over the full season than many other guys are. The wear and tear of the baseball season is a real thing. We all know that. But this guy, he doesn't have to do one thing all year long. I think there's the real potential here for him to be a barrier breaker and for teams to look at it and say, you know what, we should go to a six-man rotation, even if they don't have two-way players. We'll go to a six-man rotation because look at what it did for Ohtani. We would rather have 26 good starts than 24 good ones and 8 mediocre ones. We'll take the 26.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I said that Ohtani to me is further along as a pitcher than he is as a hitter. Okay? He is, to me, he's elite on the mound. I don't think there's any question about it. And, you know, we'll get, if you haven't seen him pitch, we'll certainly get your assessment as a fan tomorrow. But the highlights that I've seen, he throws 99 or 100 miles an hour. He has a devastating split-fingered fastball. Okay, now the slider to me is his third pitch. Other scouting reports you see, or scouting reports you see may tell you otherwise, but to me it's his third pitch. And I'm not sure it's great. It looks pretty good, but I think it could still use a little work, at least in terms of consistency. But that I said earlier in the day today, Ohtani to me right now is a candidate for the Cy Young Award. So now someone emailed in, and the reason why I bring this up is because maybe that's being misconstrued. Someone emailed in and said, how can you say this guy's going to win the Cy Young? I didn't say he's going to win the Cy Young. I said that he's a contender for it. He's a candidate for it. I think he's that good, and he is the kind of front-of-the-rotation presence that can change the balance of power in a division. And so the Angels, I said this the first week of the season, the Angels are for real. Okay, the Angels are for real because this guy makes them for real. They already had Trout, which we know, but they didn't have another sort of really dynamic presence, particularly on the pitching staff, and this guy is all that. Now, quickly on Evan Drellick, because I want to get back to your phone calls. Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston wrote today, no matter how you build your pie chart for April's bloom, talking about the Red Sox success here in the early going, the early part of the season, the boss who put the pieces in place, Dave Dombrowski, needs credit. Who hired the manager after all? Who presides over all of this? The money discussion is relevant, but it's just one part of the picture, saying that Dave Dombrowski deserves credit for the Red Sox start here in the early part of the year. And let me just say, I could not disagree more. Dave Dombrowski, to me, gets almost no credit for this. All of the young guys on this team were here before he got here. All of the veteran guys he acquired with someone else's prospects, and frankly, were easy targets. Craig Kimbrell, Chris Sale, easy, and David Price and J.D. Martinez were money signings. So you want to get into some of the smaller moves? Tell me Eduardo Nunez, fine. Last year, Addison Reed, fine. The little ones like that, absolutely. But the big pieces on this Red Sox team, they were all here before Dombrowski got here, and the other ones were just the owner writing a check, largely. Okay, so now, if Dombrowski develops some young players, and, you know, under his stewardship here of the Red Sox, and they draft and develop and leave the organization in good shape going forward, then fine. But in terms of the talent acquisition, I don't know that he's really plucked a guy out of nowhere that you said, wow, there was sort of a hidden gem the way that, say, Brian Cashman stumbled on, targeted D.D. Gregorius with the Yankees. The more you look at the Yankees...
Or Theo getting David Ortiz back in the day.
Okay, like, and you could even say that one was luck.
Sure.
Right? But Theo has a history of being able to do it. Dombrowski, to me, doesn't.
No, his best ability is that his pen hand works. He can open up the owner's checkbook and sign a guy like David Price, who was the class of that free agent, that free agency that offseason. Like, he wanted a power pitcher. David Price was the guy. He went and signed David Price. He wanted some ability at the back end of the bullpen. He makes the deal for Craig Kimbrell. It didn't take much. You know, he had the prospects to do it. Anyone could have done that. You could have done that. I could have done that. So if anything, where I feel like he actually deserves a little more scrutiny is his talent assessment or lack thereof in terms of looking at some of these guys, and they have injury history. I don't know how well he looked into it. Drew Pomeranz and his elbow, Tyler Thornburg, the issues he's had to deal with, and David Price, and now the numbness he's dealt with since childhood, apparently, and his hands on a cold day. You had him in Detroit. Did you know about this? You know, that article is ridiculous to me. And the manager, he felt forced onto him by John Henry.
See, I think Henry hired the manager, Murray. To me, Cora had a history with the organization and with Henry. He didn't have a history with Dombrowski. And he's not the kind of profile guy that Dombrowski would go after. Not with this sort of team.
Well, and a guy that's also a first-time manager. This is the Tony La Russa thing feels like that's more Dave Dombrowski to me, because this is an old-school baseball guy who wants an old-school baseball guy around almost for checks and balances. That you can give credit, if you'd like, to Dave Dombrowski and getting Tony La Russa here. But everything else, please.
Yeah, I'm not giving Dombrowski that much credit yet. Let's see how the year goes. If this team's as good as it looks, he's going to need to make a big move at the middle of the year, and then he's going to have a decision to make. Let's go back to your calls, and Max is in a truck, wants to talk about David Price. Go.
Hey, what's up, Tony? Thanks for taking my call. How effective do you think he's going to be tonight? It's 52 degrees in L.A. He's got numbness in his fingers. Like,
So, Max, just quickly, did you call earlier?
I did not, no.
Okay, so where did you get your weather information?
I think Jim Murray said it was 52 degrees in L.A. tonight.
No. It's supposed to be 68, I believe. Hold on.
So, Max, I'm going to let you go because I looked it up. It's 70, 71 right now. Also, they're in Anaheim. They're not in L.A. There is a difference. But I looked up Anaheim, 70 degrees. It is going to get into the 50s, but not until about 11 or 12 o'clock Pacific time. The game will be over by then. Okay, the game will be over by then. It's going to be in the 70s or high 60s. And down toward 60 degrees during the time of the game.
So I'm looking at this, you know, Boston Sports Inf on Twitter, who's, you know, helped out this show and the Felger and Maz show in the past, at Boston Sports Inf on Twitter. He had a tweet a little while ago. David Price, when the temperature is above 60 but under 70 and the game is played outdoors, it's 40 games that have been started by David Price. His record in those games, 21-7, with an earned run average of .313. And the game temperature tonight in Anaheim is supposed to be 68 degrees.
Yeah, to me, those numbers are completely consistent with who Price is. A DRA around 3. I mean, that's what he is. The wins and losses can be a little more deceiving. But I'll give you an interesting stat on Price a little bit later in the show. He's going to be the matchup of the game. Sean is in Marlboro. Sean, what do you got?
Hey, I got a couple thoughts on Otani, but a quick thought on Dombrowski. You could actually argue the Red Sox would be better had Dombrowski not overpaid for everyone that he kept bringing in. So from that aspect, I mean, Dombrowski, even with how good the Red Sox are, Dombrowski could have actually made them better had he not overpaid. But on Ohtani, I actually think this game would be better tonight if it were Sale and not Price, because I'm expecting Price to lay a big steaming Felger in his pants and just not play well. But as far as the routine, if he's doing one thing for half the week and another thing for the other half of the week, you get used to it. It's like at some point. So I don't know if there's really as big of a routine variance as you might think. But when you're talking someone that can pitch and hit, we hear about pitchers being considered for MVP, but they never win. If he can keep this up, and I'm not saying he will, it's only been a month, but you're actually talking the difference between being mentioned as MVP and actually winning the MVP if he can pitch and hit.
Sean, I don't think there's any question. Again, this changes, like, it potentially changes everything. If you have a guy that can do the kind of stuff that Ohtani can, again, what do you pay a guy like that? Let's say this guy's legit as a hitter now, because I think on the mound he is. Okay, I don't think there's any question about the pitching ability. The hitting, we'll see. Okay, we'll see. He's off to a fabulous start. 364, he's hitting for power and extra bases, and a high average on top of it. So we'll see whether that can sustain itself. But if he's a front-end talent in the rotation, and he can hit fifth in their order, or even fourth in the big games, he can hit 4 days a week, what is a guy like that worth? I mean, if you're going to pay $31 million for Clayton Kershaw, and you're going to pay $35 million for Miguel Cabrera, or $40 million for Bryce Harper, this guy's worth $45 million? If he's legit, something like that? I mean, it's
going to be insane. I mean, as it is, you mentioned Bryce Harper. When that contract's going to be announced as like $500 million when that deal ends up happening, if he goes to the Yankees or wherever ends up signing this offseason. So, yeah, if this kid's the real deal and he can do both, like, what the hell is that number going to be?
Oh, it's just a fascinating thing to sort of think about because, again, it's new. It's different. I hope he does it. John is in Vermont, wants to talk about Trout and Ohtani. Go.
Real quick, he's only thrown 13 innings, Matt.
Well, he's only had two starts.
Well, I know, but you're ready to give him a plaque in Cooperstown. I mean, it's 13 innings. I mean, that's
John, like, have you seen him
Brian
pitch?
Brian Rose, Clay Buchholz, they all looked like world beaters after 13 innings.
John, have you seen him pitch?
Yeah, the fastball is flat and doesn't move.
So you've seen him pitch?
Yeah, out in Arizona.
In what, spring training?
Yeah, he had a ghastly spring.
Okay, so what does that got to do with anything? You think spring training is a fair measure of what he is?
Do you think 13 innings is?
I think his ability is real. That's what I'm telling you.
Well,
I think his ability is real.
You should know better than you know, anybody. That 13
okay.
innings does not a career, you know, tell.
Okay, then I'll tell you what. Call me in 10 years.
Hey, Tony, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Real quick on what you've been talking about this afternoon, I've heard you. I think Dombrowski needs a little bit more credit out of you. I'm not waving his flag, but I think you're a little too harsh on him. And then Ohtani, it's just cool. That's the only word I got for it. It's intriguing, fascinating, but the sport definitely needs it. But what I called about was price. I want to know what you think about how big of a game is this for Price for two reasons. One, he's actually facing a legit lineup for the first time this year. And secondly, is it going to become a trend, and are we going to be saying the same old David Price because of his last outing?
So, Lance, look, I think it's a big start for Price. And again, I'm still concerned about the whole issue with his hand. To me, I would like to know more. I want to know, did the Red Sox know about it? Has it happened to him in the postseason before? These, to me, are all questions that need to be asked of Price. How did it happen to him in the playoffs with the Red Sox? You know, I want to know these things. Like, to me, those are all legitimate questions worth asking. In Cleveland, a couple of years ago, the weather was dreadful there. So what did that affect him on the mound? Is that part of the reason he got blasted the way he did? Like, you know, to me, these are all legitimate questions. There's a hell of a lot more to that story than what just came out. But if Price loses tonight against a good lineup, and the Red Sox wake up tomorrow and they have three losses and two of them with Price on the mound? Sure, you know, does it mean his season's gone down the toilet? No. But I think it is reason to sort of look at him and say, you know, what are you going to get here? After the first two starts, it looked like he was potentially on his way to a big year.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's too much baseball, personally. Yes, guys are going to take pay cuts, but, I mean, are we playing this game for the money or we love the game? I know there's both, but I think in the long run, it'll make everything better.
The question concerned a shorter schedule. That's what the question was. And let me just mention up front that the Cubs, Rizzo, I think, is on the disabled list now. But the Cubs, like many of the teams in baseball, have run into some weather issues. I think there have been, if I read this right, 24 postponements already in baseball, which gets into lots of questions. One concerns scheduling in general. Like, why are you playing games in cold weather cities in the first 2 weeks of April? And this has been a long-standing baseball thing that people have discussed for years. The games in early April should be in domes and on the West Coast and in the South. Okay, really that simple. At the very worst, you should be in the Mid-Atlantic. But even then, you're going to run into issues in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Okay, so you're going to have issues there. But beyond that, to me, the interesting part of this is Rizzo himself saying that he'd be all for a shorter schedule. And if you have to prorate the salary to cut it back based on the number of games, he'd be willing to do that. And he suggests that other players would be willing to do that. So, Jimmy, you know what? Let's play the cut again just so we can put it into context for people. I'm sorry. The question to Anthony Rizzo was, what about the idea of playing a shorter schedule?
I think it's too much baseball, personally. Yes, guys are going to take pay cuts, but, I mean, are we playing this game for the money or we love the game? I know there's both, but I think in the long run, it'll make everything better.
Okay, now, when he says, are we playing the game for the love of it or for the money, he might be playing for the love of it. Even that is a lie. So let's not delude ourselves. They're all playing for the money. And there's no way that Major League Baseball, I think, would ever chop off as many games as I want them to chop off. But I'll tell you what, I love the idea. And to me, I've said this for a long time. I'd love to see them go to something more along the lines of a Japanese model. Since we're on a Shohei Ohtani tonight, now's a good time to bring it up. The idea in Japan, I think, is they give them the same day off every week. They play six games a week, and they go with six-man rotations. And so to me, now I don't know about the six-man rotation aspect of it, but I do like the idea of a six-game week, and every team gets Thursday off. Because I think part of the frustration of being a baseball fan is you can't remember if they're playing tonight or not or what time the game is. So I'd like to see a more uniform schedule. I think that would help. And then beyond that, fewer regular season games. 24-week season, six games a week is 144. Throw in an extra week for the All-Star break if you want or something like that, and you can get the games to 147 if you want or even not. Give them the whole week off. What do I care? And then you'll still have an extra week for postseason and what have you. So to me, that would be one of the easy ways to go. But again, just something worth discussing. I thought it was an interesting comment by Anthony Rizzo, and he may be willing to take a pay cut. The players' union will never allow it, not in a million years. And owners aren't going to want to give away gate revenue and TV revenue and everything that goes along with it. So I'll be shocked if Major League Baseball ever does it.
Everything they do, they move at a glacial pace. I mean, I'm all for this too, but I don't ever see that changing, at least not in the next decade. But after all these missed games so far this year, I think they do have to look at the first thing you said. Like, you can't put these games on the East Coast the first couple of weeks of the season. I mean, look at this game again, the game this past Sunday at Fenway Park, and you had the cancellation on Marathon Monday. I mean, it was like the middle of January there on Sunday. And then the first series at Yankee Stadium this year, it was like raining sideways some of these games. And it's stupid. If snowstorms canceling games and in Kansas City, like it's ridiculous.
So, Mario, I'll tell you what, that's an interesting point, is that not only are you losing games, but the ones that are being played in horrible conditions.
So, yeah, South, domes. I mean, yeah, it's still going to affect some. You know, I just mentioned Kansas City or like Cleveland. It's still going to happen. There's going to be freak weather events. But overall, like keep them away from Boston, New York, East. You know, these East Coast teams for the first few weeks, maybe the first 3 weeks of the season, have to play out west, south domes. That's it.
Should be easy, right?
Yeah.
Tell you what, even playing Seattle. Seattle doesn't get that cold, and they have the retractable roof, so you're fine playing there. There should be enough places to figure it out. Ryan is in Methuen, wants to talk about David Price. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hi. I'm just calling out because I know you guys have been talking about this Raynaud's disease. I have Raynaud's disease, and it actually doesn't affect that much that people are making it out to be. I've had it since I was like 12, and I played sports with it. All you really need to do is keep your hands warm the entire time.
So, Ryan, thank you. Appreciate it. And I don't, you know, again, this is the danger of bringing up this topic, is that everybody starts calling in with their personal stories, and frankly, no one cares. With David Price, the issue is that they're going to play playoff games in October. He has a bad October record. They're paying him $31 million a year. He said when he came here, his goal was to win world championships. He said the other night, when he pitched in the Yankee game and he had to come out after one inning, that this could have been Game 7 of the World Series, and he had no feeling in his hand. He said that this is something he's had to encounter and deal with over his entire career. I personally would like to know more about the whole story. I would like to know whether the Red Sox knew this when they signed him, whether Price has experienced it in the postseason, whether he's experienced it in the postseason as a member of the Red Sox. These, to me, are all legitimate questions. And I would hope that this is something the Red Sox knew about, because if not, boy, what a kick in the face that is. You spend $31 million on a guy per year over 7 years. You give him the richest contract in baseball history. And then you get to October and he can't pitch in cold weather because his hand goes numb because he has a condition. And I don't doubt the legitimacy of the condition. There is a name for everything now, and we know them all, but I don't doubt the legitimacy of it. I just would like to know more. And I would like to know more about the predictability of it. So we had some people call last week that say you can't predict it. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Is that what Price's experience has been? Is it unpredictable with him, or is it more predictable depending on where the temperature is? So to me, that's a legitimate story. Again, and it's one to watch tonight, not because of the weather, but because Price is coming off a bad game. He's facing a legitimate lineup, and one, by the way, that has some great right-handed hitters in it, or at least one in Mike Trout, another good one in Pujols, Justin Upton, certainly, Andrelton Simmons, the shortstop, right-handed batter. So it does feel like the Angels have a lot of righties there, and that could be a challenging lineup for Price in that regard. Tell you what, let's squeeze in one more call here before we go to break. Dave's in Maine. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
So I was just listening to you, and I totally agree. I want to know more about it, too. And so my biggest problem always with listening to you here and with you on Telegram Mavs is, you say all these things like, I want to know this, I want to know that. Can someone from the station get credentialed and ask Dombrowski at a press conference these genuinely tough questions? Because clearly none of the beat writers down there are going to do it. Like, I want to hear, what would Dombrowski say if you asked him, you had Price in Detroit, did you know about this when you signed him to this massive deal, and what did you think was going to happen when he was going to pitch a World Series game on October 26th and it's 35 degrees out? Like,
so,
I
Dave,
want someone to ask him that question.
Yeah, so look, we could definitely get credentialed and do that. That would require a lot of effort, and frankly, I think we're all a little too lazy. But I'm joking. Someone's going to get to it, I guarantee you that. And look, we may have the opportunity sooner rather than later to interview someone on the station. We'll ask about it if we can do it that way.
I'd be really interested, because I mean that's a great question, and I just don't see any of the people that cover the team right now ever asking Dombrowski that kind of question.
We'd have to get a
genuine, conclusive answer to it.
So, look, we give him a lot of grief. I think they'll ask the question. I don't know when, and I doubt it will be in a press conference setting. Okay, so I speak from experience, and I can tell you if I had a line of questioning that I wanted to ask, and it was stuff that I thought was potentially really informative, why would I ask it in a press conference and share it with everybody? But I would hope that someone is walking around behind the scenes there and sticking their head into the manager's office or pulling aside the general manager and asking the question. I mean, to me, those are all legitimate questions. And ask it on the record. I mean, to me, there's got to be an answer for that. I think we all, given that this thing exists, we now need to know with Price some of the details. Did it happen in the playoffs 2 years ago in Cleveland? Last year, we threw the ball great, but they also played in Houston, which is warmer. And then beyond that, they're indoors. So, but the year before, he pitched in Cleveland. And my recollection was that it was cold. So, as it often is in October.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5.